Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Muhaddisin had taken great pains in preserving hadith. Every statement of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no matter how small, how big, just one single aspect, like for example, comes in Abu Dawud, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he used to visit the toilet, he would go a distant way. Just to mention this, maybe it takes half an hour, half a line, or less than half a line. إِذَا ذَهَبَ الْمَذْهَبَ أَبْعَدَ. But five words. ذَهَبَ الْمَذْهَبَ أَبْعَدَ. But they record this. And then, perhaps the Durood Sharif that comes with it is even lengthier. But they will not hesitate in reciting and reading and writing the Durood Sharif. Whilst they are recording this hadith, then they will make sure, they will ensure that the Durood Sharif is also recorded. So then, if you examine one page of this, one page of hadith, then you will see that approximately half or more than half the page is Durood Sharif, and half is that hadith that they have recorded. So now, you begin to ask yourself that why did they take so much of pain? They could have just written the hadith and left out the Durood Sharif, they could have got even more in that. No, they will not sacrifice, they will not compromise on writing the Durood Sharif. In fact, any book of hadith, be it Bukhari Sharif, or Muslim Sharif, or Tirmidhi, or Abu Dawud Sharif, but they make sure that when they have to record the hadith, they will definitely mention Rasulullah Sallallahu's name, and with his name, they will ensure that they will also record the Durood Sharif. Number two, another aspect that we need to also understand, when we make gifts, then we make gifts in two ways. Sometimes it's a person that is very important in our lives, then we make special gifts over for them, right? You're going for Umrah or Hajj on our return. Now this is a special person. It's your wife, it's your father. So these are all special people in your life, so you bring special gifts for them. And then there are the common people, people that are your friends, but common, they're not something exclusive and something very special to you. So you bring some common gift for them. Like you will bring some zamzam and khajur and you'll give it to them. But as far as your parents are concerned, as far as those that are very dear and near to you, then you will make sure you will bring something according to their status and their rank. Someone will get perhaps a gold necklace or a ring, something to show that exclusivity, that I've got that relationship with you, I've got that muhabbat for you. So that person is not treated the same as this person is treated. Both are treated differently. So similar will be the case with Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is, you make a common isal e sawab. Allah Ta'ala pass the reward to all the believers. As Hari Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, the way he would make isal e sawab, we generally write to all the marhums, right? So how he would make isal e sawab, Allah Ta'ala, all people from the time of Adam alayhi salam till the last Muslim that has to walk the surface of this earth. So is anybody excluded from Adam alayhi salam till the last person that is going to be walking, the last Muslim that's going to walk the surface of this earth? Allah Ta'ala, everybody, every person must get that salam. So what a wide range he has covered. Everybody, every Muslim is covered. So that is now the one type of reward that we are passing on. And in that, every Muslim no matter how great or how small he is, he's been covered in that Isale Sawab or in that Sawab of yours. Then it is specific people. Right? In the specific people like is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's a specific Isale Sawab that you are doing, Durood Sharif or some Quran Sharif, or you went for Hajj, Nafil Hajj, you passed on the Sawab for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You went for Nafil Umrah, and said, no, this Umrah, it's only for Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm not including anybody else. Others you did general for everybody, but now there's something like exclusivity in your mind, right? You have exclusivity, and there are people that are very special and dear to you. So obviously there can't be a person that is more exclusive, more special, and closer to you than Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this type of exclusive reward is passed on in this way. That's the second thing. The third thing is, by Allah Ta'ala, it is not the quantity that you are giving, rather the quality. Whoever you are, according to your position, you pass on the reward, right? Whatever you are, according to your position. We are speaking of Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi. Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi, he was in the center of Delhi, and he would be visited by the monarchs, the ministers, kings, etc. And he would receive gifts accordingly. Though he wouldn't enjoy and he wouldn't personally take any benefit from those gifts, and he wouldn't stop them giving those gifts because he used to consider himself just a person facilitating, as a facilitator, he's receiving and passing it on. He's receiving, and before the night can fall, he's distributing it into the poor. So that used to be his intention, that used to be his practice. That he's facilitating this act of compassion from the wealthy to the poor. So he's the man in between. So he had felt once that I need to make some exclusive gift to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like we say, Isa Alaihi Wasallam, exclusive gift for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And whilst he was contemplating, there was some delay in him making over this gift. So the Khadim asked, we see, you want to make over this gift, but you've got some delay in making over the gift with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What is the problem? What's causing this delay? So he says that my brother, Hazrat Alauddin Sabiri, Rahmatullah Alayhi, he is just making an Isale Sawab. He's also passing on a gift. And what's the gift that he's passing on? Chana. You know, in India, if someone is familiar with Indian conditions, then chana is the food of the poorest of the poor. The poorest of the poor, this is the food that they afford. So he is making a gift of this chana to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In other words, he is giving it to the poor with the need that the sawab should reach Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is receiving this gift from Alauddin Sabiri. And he is totally focused on this. You know, he is focused on this totally, he's receiving it wholeheartedly. He is receiving this gift, and he is receiving this gift wholeheartedly. So I am waiting for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be over with Hazrat Alauddin, so that then I can then go on to pass my gift on to Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the point that we need to understand here is that don't wait for that thing that is very expensive, whatever. According to your means, according to your status, then look at your sincerity. Just check your sincerity. I'm doing it specially for him. What you can afford, what you can manage. So you do it regularly. One is the Durood Sharif, and one is apart from the Durood Sharif, something that you will feel that is going to be the best type of Isale Sawab. When you talk of Isale Sawab, then many of us, we feel Isale Sawab, take one box of Yasin Sharif, live in the masjid. I don't say don't do this, but 90% of the time, that box of Yasin Sharif is just lying in the masjid, nobody is taking the benefit from it. Okay? So, when you talk of Isal Asab, then do something that is of more benefit to the general public. Some place there is a need for a borehole, go and dig a borehole. It's winter, some people require blankets, be they Muslims or non-Muslims, whoever they are. But they are in need, they don't have the basic clothing. Go and make that assistance, go and see. One friend of mine was here, so he was explaining, he just come from Eastern Transvaal somewhere. So he says, you go look at the poverty there. They don't have a meal to eat. You know, you see skin and bones. You really see that, literally see skin and bones. So you go and scratch and just go and scan the surface, see where there is the need, where there's the poverty, and then how you can make the charitable work of yours reach that place. Look for some ways. After all, for our business, we'll make a plan. Make a plan. Somehow this thing needs to go to this person. I've got a contact here, that contact, got a contact there, and that contact, got a contact here. Eventually, somehow we lead the thing and we let it reach the place that we need it to reach. So similar, one is we need to understand that we go and look around, where are they deserving people, really, really deserving people that will really appreciate. Then we make it over there. It's winter now, right? Many times people don't have basic, they don't have even a blanket. Talking of real situation, they don't have a proper blanket. Or if they got one blanket, they don't have a decent thing underneath them. They just got something over them, they don't have anything underneath them. Now, you aren't going to smell how they are living. But from some point, you need to start off. And one simple way to start off, for example, now you've got some boys working for you, right? A garden boy or someone that's working in the shop. Just go and find out a little bit. That what have they got? Have they got anything for the winter? Are they taking the proper type of medication? Are they taking something that they can, you know, make themselves immune to the cold, etc.? Honey or cod liver oil or something that will boost up the immunity system. Now, they don't know these things, right? They don't know that they need to take something to boost up the immunity. Right? We know these things, right? They don't have that education. But don't we have a duty towards them? They are the children of Adam alayhi salam. They are our brothers, even though they are non-Muslims. But we have a duty towards them. Can't we just educate them, alright? Brother, you know, you don't have a blanket, or you don't know what's good for your immunity, right? Take this bottle of honey, and every morning have a teaspoon, take one in the evening. Or take this cod liver oil, malt extract, something. Take one teaspoon or one tablespoon in the morning. And you'll see his health is just changing, improving. Now he will appreciate these things. Or his child needs clothing, or he needs school books, or something he needs. Basic needs, some medical attention they need. Right? And they don't have the money for that medical attention. Or the doctors advise them to eat certain foods, and they don't have the money to buy it. Now, you have the money, you have the understanding that they need to have these type of things. Show some compassion, show some love. Irhamu man fil ard, yarhamkum man fis sama. Show mercy unto the people of the earth. The people of the heavens will show mercy unto you. Many a times, there is a punishment that is impending. It's a lingering punishment. And you just do a work of compassion, some work of kindness, some work of compassion and love. And you see that impending punishment is just moved away. But show that, and as I say, when you're doing this work of kindness, then you must check around, look around, what is to be done. Just buying that box of Yasin Sharif, leaving the masjid, I don't say don't do it. But is that the right thing? Is that the most effective thing? If your father or your son is sick, he needs some attention, you'll just buy a couple of Yasin and give it to him. So no, he needs to be hospitalized. He needs some attention. He needs a doctor to come and visit him. So you will use your discretion, you will use your reasoning and try and assist your father or your son. So these people also are human beings. They are the children of Adam alayhi salam. Show mercy to them. How pleased will Allah Ta'ala be? And how much won't you touch their hearts? These people, they treat us like their own. They talk to us decently. They guide us. They educate us. They tell us what we must do, what we mustn't do. We didn't know about these things. Now, they will appreciate. One day, they'll come closer to Islam. But we have a negative attitude, unfortunately. So, you know, we will say, because, you know, terrible statements. Twisted hair, twisted brains. No matter what you do to them, and they will still come and stab you at the back. How can we make these statements? There may be one odd person who did something, but now we can't generalize. Because of one person's crime, now do we generalize? See? India, the same thing is happening. There are people that are kuffar, that are hurting our brothers. Do we say now that all the Indians are the same? Because of the work or the crime of one, two, do we say everybody is like that? No. So every community will have the good, you will have the bad. But because of the wrong of one, two, you don't go and make, you don't go and make sweeping statements like this. It's not the right thing to do. We look at it at a broader picture that they are the children of Adam alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala's creation. They are our brethren. See, are we now, do we stoop so down, so low, lower than animals? You see that animal, a cow, one cow is dead here and others are all grazing. They're not worried. They're grazing, carrying on, casual, comfortable, and they're going on. So, do we stoop down so low? Or do we say, no, we'll go and do these things, we're going to check this thing out. One person gives a description of the Sahaba Ikram. It's a lengthy story, but I just want to show you one part of it. A kafir, king, he gives a description, a detailed account of the Sahaba Ikram. How do they conduct themselves? This kafir is speaking to a group of Muslims. The earlier Muslims, where are they? So that group of Muslims ask, and you talk of this earlier Muslims, what was their behavior? What was their conduct? What was their conduct? So he says their conduct was such that throughout the day they will fulfill some errand for some person that is needy. Some of our kuffar brothers, the king, the kafir king, he's saying, some of our kuffar brothers, but they will look around in the entire place that they are residing. That is there any person needy? Does he need water, firewood, salt, something basic if he requires, make it available for that person. Make it available. Conducting their business, whatever they need to do, but they will see it to the basic needs of these people. And by night, they are on the musalla. In the day, they are looking for the needs of people. How can I help this person? How can I help that person? How can I assist this person? What can I do for that person? And by night, they are on the back of the musalla. Now this is the style, this is the way of the Sahaba Ikram. Here, we got that additional money. What we do? The bathroom is done simply now, and the son is going to get married. So, marriage and nikah is once in a life occasion. The 150,000 rand, let me just go and posh the toilet in the bathroom. Now, is that an imaginable thing? When a person, it is in your neighborhood, they are suffering, dying, they don't know anything, we can't educate them, we can't uplift them, don't do anything for them, and that 150,000 is just going in the toilet in the bathroom. Is that humanity? Do you call it humanity? Or do you call it hard-heartedness? So this is what Allah Pak likes. Yirhamu man fil ardi, yarhamkum man fis sama. Don't mean to hurt anybody, but I'm expressing to you my feelings. See, when I see this, I see what's going on. I see their plight. And as a human being, you feel for them like how you feel for your own. Like you feel for your own brothers. So you need to feel for them as well. They are also your brothers. Just that they are different complexion. But do we treat them like that? Really, Allah Pak loves this. We show that mercy. We show that love. We show that compassion. I mean, the hadith says that person is not even a believer. He's eating and he is satiated, he is quite satisfied and he is quite comfortable. That person besides him, he's hungry, going to sleep hungry. That person is not even a believer. Imagine what strong words Rasulullah is using here. That person is not a believer. That he's eating, he's satiated, he's satisfied, and the person just near to him is going to sleep, but poor person is hungry. We may criticize these people, we may condemn them, that no, they got the money in the hand, they don't know how to budget, they go and burn the money overnight. But then do we take the pains to go and educate them, correct them, show them what they need to do, how to budget themselves? Do we take the pains to do it? Like, we are fortunate we had parents to guide us, someone elder to guide us, to take us through, show us, alright, how do you plan, how do you budget for the month, how to prioritize. Unfortunately, they didn't have these things. The father is somewhere, the mother is somewhere else, so there's nobody to guide them. Are we going to dump them as well? See? So, definitely Allah Ta'ala will be very, very pleased. You know, we are looking for ways to catch the attention of Allah Ta'ala. How will we focus, how will we attract the attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is an area that we have neglected. Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, the awliya-i-kiram used to rank him very, very high. The kutub of the zamana, what were they used to tell about him, right? So these people have a vision. Allah Pak opens their sight. He broadens their sight. He used to say on numerous occasions, he used to say, that had I only been young, I would have stayed with these people here, learned the language and worked with them. He used to say this much, that if someone wants to make his jannat, earn his jannat, it's so easy in this country. Just go and work with these people. Show them that compassion, show them that mercy, show them that love, and you'll earn your jannat. Now these people are saying with vision, they are saying with sight, they are saying with a deep understanding, what they can see, we can't see. What they can understand, we can't understand. But with that understanding, that vision that Allah Ta'ala blessed them with, this is what they are saying. There are simple ways how we can teach them, how we can educate them. Alright, we've got money to throw around, right? Like I said, it's a winter, and we see what's good for them, right? They need to build up the immunity, some medication. You educated them, you said, alright, take that honey, take this, it'll be better for you. Once in a while, alright, at the end of the month, we give them a food hamper. If you feel that they're going to squander that wealth, then some food hamper, some mealy meal, some type of a basic meal, right, oil, whatever they require. It's all of us will, we desire meat, right? If there's a braai going on here, right, that fragrance will go in the whole street. Now, many of these people don't eat meat sometimes for months on end, 6 months, 5 months, 6 to 8 months on end. Absolutely no meat. They can't afford it. Now, we are enjoying it, right? But then do we feel for these people that are walking around, do they have that type of meal? Or if they don't have it, these people that we are close to, right? We buy them some meat hamper, something. Alright. According to our budget, according to how much we can afford, make it over to them. You know, take this, and alright, you don't have a refrigerator, alright, take this. This week you will eat this much, and next week I'll store it up in my refrigerator, and you take it weekly and go and enjoy yourself. Now, how much of du'as you will get? Remember that same incident of Alauddin Sabiri rahmatullahi, that the chana is in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is totally, wholeheartedly accepting it. So this is when that is being done at the time of need. You're looking at the need, you're looking at that constraints that the person is living in, and you're helping the person out. So how much Allah Pak won't be happy? It's Allah Ta'ala's people. It's Allah Ta'ala's, genuinely it's Allah Ta'ala's people. Allah Ta'ala is extremely happy. You hear of an incident, a buzurg went to Jannat, why? He showed some compassion to a dog. The dog was hungry or something and he helped it out. The dog was suffering in a winter's morning and he went and helped it out. Or that he was suffering from scabies and shivering in the cold and he went and helped it out. He applied medication, Allah gave Jannat. So that's a dog, right? And a human being is far greater. A dog showing that compassion and the man earning the Jannat, the human being is far greater. So how much Allah Ta'ala won't be happier if you show that mercy, that muhabbat, that compassion, that kindness to these people. Then you will see. You will see definitely it will take some time and that person will accept Islam. I remember when my ustad was not feeling well and we had to go and visit him. We were on our return from Johannesburg. It was nearing namaz time. So, in fact, namaz time was just expiring. So, normally you would like someone to drive at a moderate pace. Don't go beyond the speed limit. You feel nice, comfortable, and you feel easy. But now it's only got 15, 20 minutes for namaz to go. So I just told the driver, just go a little bit faster. And the young student, he was just waiting for me to say that much. And from, I think, 110 or something, he went and pushed 180, 190. And there the police just flagged us down. It's a big offense, obviously, from 110, he's going to 180, 190. Big offense, serious. Anyway, so the driver, normal routine, the driver gets up, gets out of the car, you know, see the police. So the police actually came to my window. He came to my window and a full salute, Sambora Lumzan. Full salute he gave. So much of respect. And then he says his words, I'm just quoting his words. He says, When I was a child, it was your people that had helped me. Right? It was your people that helped me and my family when I was a child. Then when I need to be going to school, it was your people that helped me when I needed to go to school. Then I needed a job, then it was your people. Today I'm here, it's just because of you people. So I've taken a pledge with my Creator that if any of you are all alone, I will never issue a penalty. I will never issue a fine. If I am alone, I will never issue a fine. And now go, and just 5 kilometers ahead, there's another fine, just be careful. Now imagine the appreciation. He is identifying with Muslim Islam. Alright, maybe he didn't accept Islam straight away. But he became close. He loves the cause of Islam. He's recognizing it. He's appreciating it. Who knows, maybe in time, one day his eyes will open, Allah will grant him the tawfiq to accept Islam. But at least, you have introduced him to Islam. That other Muslim did that good, but you've taken the benefit, aren't you? At that moment, don't you feel good? I could have got a fine for 2,000 rand just now. And that person's kindness, and it saved me. So similarly, you know, Harun al-Rashid, he was traveling, so he came across a villager, see. He was working the field, so he's asking the villager, what are you doing? So, you know, I'm planting olive trees. So he asked the villager, and how long will it take to bear fruit? So he says, about 40 years. So Harun Rashid looks at the villager, so old man, what's your age? 80. So it'll take another 40 years to bear fruit. And how are you going to eat this fruit? Now the villager doesn't know it's Harun Rashid that's talking. So he says, 40 years later this fruit's going to be tasted, and you're planting from now. Where's the reason? Where's the logic in this? So go. Says, our grandfathers did the same, so we are eating. We will do the same, and our grandchildren will eat. So Harun Rashid was impressed with this answer. He had a code word, he would say, Naam. That was a code word. So when he used the code word, the treasurer, straight away, he pulled out 100,000, and he gave it to the villager. That's the code word, that's what's indicating. So the villager was very, very sharp and very smart. So he says, some people's farms, you know, they only bear fruit after 40 years. Mine's, in 1 year it bear fruit. You're smart. Villager is quite smart. Don't underestimate villagers. Eh? Don't think, farmer yo chai, bhai. No, you got no brains. Oh, they got it all there. A lot of them are very smart, very, very sharp there. So he says that some people's farms, they only bear fruit after 40 years. And mine's in 1 year. So Harun Rashid is impressed again, and he says, Naam, tawa. The man cashed in another 100,000. Villager is not, he is not saying no still, he's not failing still. He is not failing. He says, in someone's farm, they bear fruit once in the year. And my farm bear fruit twice in the year. However, she said, no. And the treasurer said, by the way, let's move now. This person will eat the whole treasury just now. This person will. So we will do the good, there will be someone else that will reap. Like someone else did the good, we reaping. We will do the good, someone else will reap. Can't we have that broad heart, broad approach? Someone was telling me somewhere, I don't know exactly which town it was, and they were applying for a license for a masjid. Right? And there were some people that were objecting. But the black counselor, he had his way and he says, no, I'm going to issue the license for the construction of the masjid. He says, as a child, we didn't have food to eat. And these people used to not only provide food for me, but our whole family used to provide food. You know, it's a practice in most Muslim homes. Person comes, sometimes you don't give the cash, we'll give them some tarkari, something, some bread, or some tinned food or something. And they can have, it can be a meal for that entire family for that day. So this person, he remembered this, we were in poverty, we were in constraints. And when we used to come to these people's door, they will give us an entire meal, a tin of beans, half a loaf of bread, and all of us could enjoy. So these things are not forgotten. Imagine that little work of charity, little work of compassion, and that aided the building and the construction of a masjid. It supported the construction. So you do the good, someone else is benefiting. Like someone did it in the past, you are benefiting. Similarly, these things mustn't be stopped at all. Mawlana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, his last talk in the Springer Beach Masjid was about the same thing, exactly the same thing. Ashabul Jannati aqsamu la yasrimunha musbihin. Today we recited this. In fact, yesterday we recited this. Iz aqsamu la yasrimunha musbihin wa la yastasnun. The incident goes, it's the 29th Sipara Surah Noon. That it was the habit of the father, the old man, that when it used to be the season for harvesting, then he will make a reasonable amount for the poor. And the poor will know that this day we will get our share. You know, dates and grains, these are the things that are the staple food. So they get their stocks. And this stock will then last them for the entire year. And these two staple things, grains and dates, they are something that can pull for the entire year. Like we see this khajur that we are eating, it lasts for the entire year. And it doesn't require a fridge for storage, right? You just have to dry it and you can enjoy it for the entire year. So at the day of the harvest, these poor used to come and they will get a reasonable share, sometimes up to 30% of the harvest. Right? 30%, if you got a 30 million rand, and you're giving 1 million rand, so this is the amount that this people used to give. And Allah Ta'ala will give them accordingly. You are being kind to my servants, my bandas, I will pay you accordingly. You are being kind to them, I will give you. The giver is Allah Pak. Don't we say Allah Pak gives? One door closes, 10 door Allah Pak opens. Don't we say these type of things? So the giver is Allah Ta'ala. So they had that in focus that Allah Ta'ala will give. We will give to these people, Allah Pak will give us. So on the day of the harvest, these poor used to come, used to pile up, and they will take the share and they'll move on. Now the father, old man passed away, the youngsters got the reins of the business. They say, you know, the father is old-fashioned, he's giving so much, you know, 1 million, from 30 million, to give 1 million is a small thing, big thing. That now we have our needs now, we got much today, now, you know, it's different zamana now, 21st century, different zamana, things have changed now, our expenses are higher now. Things are not like before. So we have to reconsider this whole thing. We can't be giving the poor like this. So they changed their mind. They just changed the intention. إِذْ أَقْسَمُوا لَيَسْرِمُنَّهَا مُصْبِحِينَ وَلَا يَسْتَثْنُونَ فَطَافَ عَلَيْهَا طَائِفٌ مِّن رَبِّكَ وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ فَأَصْبَحَتْ كَالسَّرِيمِ. They resolved that we're not going to give anything to the poor. Nothing. We will enjoy it. Our needs have increased. So we will see. We will see to our needs. We can't be giving the poor. So it was just the intention that they had made. Just only intention, nothing else but the intention. Now, the Quran says, asbahat kasareen. When they reached their farm, they saw it was a desolate, dark place. Nothing, absolutely. Inna la dhalun. They said, when they saw their own farm, they said, perhaps we are lost. It's not our farm, this. Because it was so desolate, dark spot, absolutely wiped out, clean. They felt it's not their land. Inna la dhalun. Bal nahnu mahrumun. Then they examined, or at the neighboring plot, this is the neighboring plot, that side, this side. So now this is our plot. Then did they realize that it was because of the change of the intention, Allah Ta'ala wiped it out completely. You change your intention, your intention was right. You looked after my people, I looked after you. But when you resolved, you're not going to help, then I don't need to help you. When you made up that intention, you're not going to help. Then why must I help you? You don't want to help my servants, why must I help you? So Allah Ta'ala will grant, Allah Ta'ala will keep on bestowing. Alhamdulillah, this country, we have got that reputation. May Allah Ta'ala keep it going. That we don't say no to anybody. Anyway, coming from India or anywhere, Chanda, whatever, we'll give 100 rand, 200 rand, something as a token. If we need to give more, we'll give more. But we will give. We will not refuse. So this habit of ours must not change. All I request is, this habit must not change, number one. But number two is, just make a little bit further examination, that where must I spend more? There are more needy people, quite a few needy people, we don't know about them. When I was talking about this winter thing, some 5-7 years ago, and some friends came and told me afterwards, that really, that's a genuine deserving case. There are people that are working for us, and they don't have proper blankets to sleep on. Really, in the cold, biting cold, you know, we got our heater on, we got 2-3 kambas on top of us, and a nice, soft mattress beneath us, and over that mattress we got another blanket. This is such a cozy room we've got. They don't have anything. They don't have these type of comforts, they don't have these luxuries, yet they are working for us, they are doing some work for us, and we don't even find out about them. So all we need to do, perhaps we have the heart, I don't say we don't have the heart to spend, alhamdulillah, our community of South African public, they have the heart to spend. But just that, sometimes we become relaxed, we don't want to investigate and find out these people's plight, how they live, living, what they need, and we don't want to educate them. The government is not going to educate them. The government is in a different wavelength. So leave the government what they are doing. But what they need, what are the genuine needs, and how much we can extend. I don't say that give away everything. But then we don't become so miserly. You know, if 100 people are drowning, so you don't have the attitude that if I cannot save all, then why must I save anybody? Alright, I can't save the 100, let me save 10. How much I can save, I will save. We don't go on to extremes. The miserliness and extremes, we don't go in that end. One person, he asked his friend for his ring, you see. That this will be at least a token, it will be a remembrance, it will be a memory. Whenever I see this, you know, then I'll think of you. So his friend is a miser, so he says, no, what you do is, whenever you see your finger bare, you know, think, hey, I asked for the ring. So we don't go to the extremes in miserliness. How much we can support, how much we can help, we help. One person saw, in Arabic they say figs, they say teen, you see. Teen is for figs. So he's got a whole basket of teen, and he sees his friend coming from the distance. But he doesn't have the heart to share the teen with his friend. So as the friend is approaching, he quickly just covers it up with a shawl. Now he says, now that friend's going to come here and he's going to talk something, so I need to engage him, and he mustn't look at my teen here, see. So he said, can't you recite some kirat? But his friend is a Qari Sahib, so Qari Sahib, can't you recite some kirat? So the Qari Sahib is reciting. Anyway, the Qari Sahib got the wind of it, so he says, وَزَّيْتُونِ وَتُورِ سِينِينَ. So he says, ain't a teen, where's the teen? Person is asking, where's the teen? Says, tahta kisaik, under your shawl. So alhamdulillah, the public that we have got, alhamdulillah, they want to give. They want to give, they want to spend. Alhamdulillah, Allah Pak has given them a magnificent heart. Generally, all South Africans, Allah Pak has given them an excellent heart. But just that we are a little bit relaxed. A little bit relaxed, and we need to explore this, alright. How do we help? How do we assist? How much, not endangering ourselves, not putting ourselves into difficulties, but assist, help. Allah Pak will love us, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Naseeb.